Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy to be with you today. And I just want to open up this segment and talking about Israel. You know, it's something that I'm committed to as the pastor of First Baptist Texarkana is every time we gather as a church, we're going to pray, Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We make no bones about the fact that we stand with Israel, and Israel, they are God's chosen people. And the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And it is indeed sad to see so much anti-Semitism around the world, and especially here in America. I like what Franklin Graham said when he was asked, I think he was asked by Todd Starnes this just recently, are you surprised at all the anti-Semitism that we see in America, that we see on college campuses? And Franklin said, not really, considering the fact that we've let in so many people who don't care about America, who don't love America, who want to fundamentally alter America. Well, you know, America was known as a melting pot, and people would come in to Ellis Island, and they were people that were wanting a new life, wanting freedom, escaping oppression, and wanting freedom. And they would adopt the American ideals and the American dream. And hey, in America, you're free to make something of yourself, and you're not just stuck as it would be in India. You're stuck in a certain class, and you can never get out of that. Dinesh D'Souza said, "You know, I came to America and found the American dream, and found hope, and found freedom, and found that if I would work hard, I could make something of myself." And Rafael Cruz, who escaped from Cuba, Ted Cruz's dad, hey, he found that he could make something of himself in America. Well, we've lost the melting pot. We're not just bringing people in and saying, hey, this is what you're coming to. We're letting them just bring in their own ideologies and those kinds of things. And so what do we have? We have people who hate Israel, people who want to see Israel wiped off the map from the river to the sea, as you hear that chant. Well, we make no bones about the fact that we stand for Israel. I had somebody accuse me, not to my face, but it got back to me, that they weren't going to let their children come to our church anymore because it says, Pastor Jeff is for genocide. And I thought to myself, good grief. Here's what I am for. I am for Israel destroying completely Hamas. Hamas is an evil terrorist organization that the people of Gaza voted for. 82% of them voted for this evil totalitarian terrorist regime. Well, I'm for Israel destroying Hamas because Hamas, as you've heard me say before, Hamas is like the original Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator. And Hamas will not stop until they destroy Israel. And so if you just wound Hamas, well, they're going to get they're going to heal up and they're going to come at you again. They want to perform the atrocities of October 7th any chance they get. And they have stated that specifically. They're not trying to bait and switch. This is what we're going to do. And we are right in doing it. We are right in beheading the children of our enemies and raping the women and cutting their heads off and burning them alive. It's just horrific. Well, you heard at the top of the hour just a little piece of Benjamin Netanyahu. He was being interviewed by Sean Hannity on Fox News just the other day. And so I want to play this. I guess it was last night, but I want you to hear from the Prime Minister of Israel why this issue is so important. You say, well, Israel's far away. It's in the Middle East. That really doesn't have anything to do with me. It does. It has a lot to do with you and me, and this is why we need to stand with Israel.
Let me ask you about what has been going on worldwide. and that is virulent anti-Semitism that I never thought, Mr. Prime Minister, I'd see in my lifetime. You know, hearing over and over again in New York and in London, you know, from the river to the sea, which means to wipe Israel off the map, or the call for Intifada. The things I'm hearing in the halls of Congress in my country, or college campuses in my country, or what we're hearing in Europe, or what, you know, I never thought Australia would ever hear a chanting, gas the Jews, F the Jews. With all of that, how do you, it's inexplicable to me. Can you explain it? And can you explain why the pressure is coming from even my own government, our government here in the U.S., Joe Biden, to put a pause as you now try to, you know, you are in a battle for your survival. You know, never again, as you said, is now. Never again is right now.
Well, I think the American government and President Biden have been very supportive of Israel. There was a question of humanitarian. I think they were very clear. We can't have a ceasefire. We have a ceasefire. It means that it's a surrender to Hamas. It's a surrender to terrorism. It's a victory for the axis of terror. That doesn't mean that we can't give, you know, in a specific time, in a specific place, for a safe corridor for Palestinian civilians to leave the zone of fighting. Yeah, we do give them the ability to do that. But I don't think anyone argues for a general ceasefire. That's not going to happen. By the way, the only time we'll have a ceasefire is for the return of our hostages. Without that, it's not going to happen. And then we'll continue until the battle is won. But I have to tell you that you talk about anti-Semitism. I think that it's the oldest hatred. You know, it's an old disease, and it morphs. It takes on new forms every time. And what the anti-Semites don't realize is the attacks start with the Jews, on the Jews, but they never end there. That's what happened in the Holocaust. People said, oh, well, you know, the attacks of the Nazis on the Jews before World War II, or even the beginning, that's okay. No, it wasn't, because it afflicted all of humanity, all of civilization. And that's what you have here, too. The reason they're attacking Israel is this axis of terror understands that we're the forward position of the West and of civilization. And we're just a stumbling block on the way to you. So these people who are demonstrating in the United States and the West, I don't think they represent the majority of the American people. I know they don't. But there's a minority there that is completely misguided, and even worse than that. And I think that they don't give Israel the right that they would afford to any of their countries. Imagine the United States is it with 29/11s. Sean, that's what we had. Proportionately, we had 29/11s. Imagine 50,000 Americans killed in one day. Imagine 10,000 Americans are taken hostage in one day. Imagine this brutality, this savagery in one day. And think about what would America do? Well, it would do exactly what we're doing. It would go against the terrorists. It would fight them in the streets. It would fight them everywhere they meet. And that's what you did against Al-Qaeda after 9/11. That's what you did against ISIS. You didn't relent. You didn't say, well, because they're hiding in civilian areas in Mosul or in Fallujah, we can't fight them. You sent your brave soldiers there, and they did exactly what we're doing. And we're doing it in the best way that we can. But we have to win this fight. And those who don't understand it, you know, that's an indictment. You know, it's an indictment of these people, that they are basically aligning themselves with evil against good. Evil cannot win. And we're not going to be impressed by these demonstrations. We're going to do what's right and win this war for our sake, for the sake of humanity and civilization.
That was Benjamin Netanyahu talking to Sean Hannity about the war, Israel versus Hamas, and I think he said some great things in there. Those that are against Israel are aligning themselves with Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. If you're aligning with Hamas, or if you know people who are aligning with Hamas and people who are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And that's what Rashida Tlaib said. And, I didn't mean it like extermination of the Jews. That's what that means. And so if you chant that or say that in public, I mean, that's what you are saying. But this is a very clear conflict between good and evil. And Israel was attacked on October 7th, as Benjamin Netanyahu said, it's like 20 9/11s. Well, you think about 9/11 in America, when they flew the planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, and the people who died, the people that just went to work that day, they were incinerated, and people, we saw the horrible images of people jumping out of, 70-story buildings and jumping to their death because trying to escape the flames. I mean, it was horrific. But they had 20 of those in one day. And of course, they're going to fight back. And the brutality of the attack just had the devil's fingerprints all over it. So this is a clear conflict between good and evil. And all of those organizations, the radical Islamic fundamentalists, and people, people try and distance from, those are just the fringe group. That's just the radical group. Listen, that is what Islam teaches in its pure form. That is what Muhammad did. It's smash mouth. Islam is smash mouth religion, and they go after people, believe or die, kneel to Allah and say Muhammad is his prophet. Take on our religion or we'll cut your head off. That's what they did in Muhammad's day. That's what they are doing today. Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, any other group like that. If you are siding against Israel, you are siding against good. And we use Hitler as an example, and people, if I had lived back in World War II, I never would have gone along with Hitler. There are very few that stood up to Hitler in Germany, very few pastors that stood up to Hitler. Martin Niemöller was one of the few, and the guys just went along. And I really believe that God has opened the door for me to have this program, and American Family Radio, American Family Association, Tim Wildman have been so gracious and kind to me to allow me to do this. But I believe that it's God has done this just to call out pastors especially to stand up for what is right. Just be bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And guys, we need to get up in the pulpit and we need to make a stand for righteousness. And if people don't like it, tough. You have to stand up and speak up. As Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. But why was Paul arrested? He was arrested for being bold. And what did he pray in his imprisonment? What was his request to the Ephesians? Pray for me that God would help me to be bold, that I would speak as I ought to speak with boldness. Well, it was the boldness that got him in trouble, but that was his prayer request. He talks about the armor of God, and then he kind of sums up the armor of God this way, and you remember the armor of God, put on the full armor of God. You have the belt of truth that holds you all together. You have the breastplate of righteousness, put on the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we as Christians, and especially as pastors, we need to speak boldly. And we need to lead our churches to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6, that's a command. And Israel is in trouble, and they're at war, and we need to stand with them. And we need to call out people who are not standing with them and saying, listen, this is a battle between good and evil, between right and wrong, between God and Satan. We better be on the side of God. Whoever is on the Lord's side, Moses said, come to me. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, welcome back. In the first segment, we're talking about Israel, and we always want to keep praying for Israel. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem and Israel, the apple of God's eye, His chosen people. And as someone has well said, listen, if you're in a church that's not standing for Israel, you need to find a new church, because it is a clear distinction between God versus the devil, good versus evil, and we need to obviously be on the Lord's side. Well, we want to switch gears right now. As you have heard on American Family Radio, and hopefully you've heard in your church, Operation Christmas Child is in full swing, and the shoeboxes are being collected this week, now through November 20th, 4,500 drop-off locations. You can go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find out about a drop-off location near you. It's still not too late to pack a shoebox and make a difference in the life of a child somewhere around the world. And today we have a special guest with us, Nageya Shanesta, I hope I said that right, from West Africa, the Ivory Coast. Did I say your name correctly?
It was close. It's Ngesa Shimeya.
Ngesa Shimeya. Okay, yes. That sounds right. Ngesa Shimeya, and grew up in West Africa on the Ivory Coast. And you had an experience with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. So can you tell us about that?
Right. Good morning. I'm really happy and blessed to be on your radio. And yes, I am a volunteer at the OCC. We call OCC because when I was 10 years old back in Africa, in the country called Côte d'Ivoire, I received a shoebox, and I grew up in a Christian family. My father was a pastor. My mother was helping him in the ministry. They had four kids, and I was the third one. We used to live at the church, and one day we received the bad news, and my mother told me that my father went to heaven, and I was 6 years old. For me, I didn't really understand what was going on, and after my father passed away, we faced poverty. It was really tough. We had to go to the village. Life was really hard. But at some point, we were able to come back in town. And as I was looking for my father, because I really felt alone at school, my classmates used to talk about their father, and I couldn't share mine because I didn't really know my father. And my mother, every night, she likes to talk. She used to like to talk about Jesus, talk about the love of Jesus. And one night, as we were doing Bible study, she was talking about a heavenly father. She said, even though we do not have a father in this house, we do have a heavenly father who loves us and cares for us. As I was looking for a father, my mother, I asked my mother, can this father could give me a gift? And she said, yes, go and pray. And I went to my bedroom. I prayed a short prayer. I said, Father in heaven, if you are my father, give me a gift. And only 1 month, 3 months, I even forgot my prayer. Until one day, it was a Sunday, we went to church, and we were about to end service. The pastor said, hey, after service, don't let the children go home. We received some gift for them. And after service, we went to one of the big rooms of the church. As I was entering the big room, I could see many boxes, and the pastor prayed over the shoeboxes, and they started to call children's name, and I received my shoebox. It was full of toys, full of love, and I didn't even know who sent me the box until I came to the USA. So when I received that box, for me, it was a prayer that God answered. It was a gift from my heavenly Father, and I was really happy because inside of that box, there was a toy that I didn't tell my father about, but it was inside of my box. It was a yellow race car. Why a yellow race car? Because I like cars. And before, since my mother couldn't afford some good toys, I used to play with people's shoes as a car or make find some wood and play with it. That's how I used to enjoy my childhood. And God saw it. He knew that I like cars, and I wanted a toy like a car. And inside of my box, there was this yellow car. And I really believe that this box was coming from my father, because how come God can touch someone's heart to pack a shoebox, send all the way to Africa to me, and put the right toy inside for me? Only God could do this. And this is how I received my box back in Africa.
How old were you when you got that, 6 years old?
I was 10 years old.
10 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you have a personal relationship with Jesus at that time?
I didn't. So for me, I wanted to play, but I think this bus was a seed in my life. I from that bus, I realized that I have a heavenly Father who loves me and cares for me, but I didn't know Jesus. As I was growing up, between 16 and 15 years old, I was living my life the way I wanted. I had some bad friends, doing some bad things. My mother tried so many times to tell me to give my life to Jesus, but the way I was living was not good. But I wasn't listening to her. Until in 2014, my brother passed away. I was really shocked and mad at God. And I stopped talking to people. For me, it was pointless to live. I wanted to hurt myself. One day I went to school, and I was thinking about what I could do to myself, because for me, it was pointless to live. And as I was in the classroom, I was able to hear a calm, sweet voice telling me that, why don't you put your trust in me? I am your father. As I was hearing this voice, I could feel a transformation inside of my heart. I could see that Jesus was revealing himself to me. I went back home. I explained everything to my mother. And I said, Mother, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to trust him. And at the age of 18 years old, I got baptized and saved.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, then how did you make it to the United States?
Yes. So after I gave my life to Jesus, I was praying that God could give me a job so I can help my mother, because she couldn't work the way she used to. And one day a friend came to me. He asked me, I apply green card for people. Do you want me to apply green card for you? And I said no, because he told me green card was a lottery. And if your name is picked up, you're going to go to the USA. And for me, I'm a Christian. I don't do that. So I said no. But every time when this friend, he saw me, he was like, let me apply for you. One night I was working with my wife. She was my fiancée at that time. And he came again. He said, let me apply green card for you. And I would say something. Sometimes God used some ways that we do not understand, because we have our own mindset of how God could move in our life. So this friend, he came again. And he asked me, let me apply green card for you. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know why this friend wants me to apply green card. He bothered me all the time. And my wife told me, oh, let him apply and we'll leave you alone. I'm glad that she was there, because she gave me good advice. After 1 year, this friend called me back and he told me, hey, your name is on the list for the people who will receive green card. You might say, hey, your name got picked up because you applied for it. But let me tell you, back home in Africa, many thousands of people applied for green card and they never got picked up. Even my friends, he applied for green card many times, but me, for the first time, my name was on the list. And in November 28, 2018, I came to the USA without knowing no English because my first language is French.
Wow. So where did you go in the U.S.?
So I was in Dallas, Texas, working at McDonald's, Pizza Hut, because, you know, when you are, I was a cooker, and you are a cooker, nobody bothers you, there's no English over there, just take orders, and you cook, that's it. So that's what I was doing, and it was really tough. God brought a friend again, and this friend came to me, and he asked me, why don't you join the military? And I said, no, I cannot join the military because I can't speak English. But when this friend left, this question was inside of my mind all the time. Why don't you join the military? And I said, okay. I went out to find a recruiter. When I went there, she told me, hey, I'm going to give you a test. You will have to score 30 points to pass. And after I did the test, the result came out, and I only scored 11 points. She told me, you're not ready. Go and study English and come back. I was discouraged, but this question was inside of my mind. Why don't you join the military? And I said, God, don't you see that I cannot speak English? I tried to learn English. It didn't work. And God told me, why don't you teach yourself English by watching TV, cartoons? So if I speak English today, God used cartoons and movies to make me speak English today. And only after 2 months, I went to the recruiter and I said, I want to do the test again. And she said, okay. She gave me the test. And after the result came out, I scored 51 points. She was surprised because she knew that I couldn't even score 30 points. And by the grace of God, I am a Nazi duty, serving the U.S. Navy, and it's a blessing. And I'm really proud to serve this country because this country has been good to me. They gave me a citizenship only after 1 year. In November 2020, it was during COVID. And nobody was working. God did a miracle. God attached somebody at the immigration, and he processed my case on for after only 2 months. And God did some amazing thing for me in this country. That's why I'm really proud and really blessed to serve this country.
Amen. Amen. Well, how did you reconnect with Operation Christmas Child?
So I was down here. Our ship is here in Virginia shipyard. And I was in the barracks watching TV, and it was TBN. They were talking about Operation Christmas Child. It was the one around Christmas. And I didn't know who sent me the box when I was a kid. So as I was watching TV, there was an ad. And the ad showed the OCC logo. When I saw that, it was kind of a flashback. And I said, oh, wait, I remember I received this gift. So my first intention was to say thank you to OCC. I emailed OCC. I explained everything that happened to me when I was a kid and when I received that box. And I said, thank you, because this gift really impacted me. They were really amazed how God moved through this box. And they asked me, do you think that you can go around and share your story? And I said, yes, but I wasn't really sure because of my language. I said, like, what am I going to tell people? Are they going to be able to hear me, to understand me, because my language, my English is not good? But every time when I go and share my story, God is with me. The Holy Spirit helps me speak, and so people could understand, could hear what he has done for me when I was a kid.
Amen. Amen. Well, how would you encourage our listeners that maybe they're not involved with Operation Christmas Child, they haven't yet gotten a shoebox, or they don't really understand the impact that it makes? What would you say to them?
I would say these boxes, they're not just a box full of toys and goods or items, items, all that stuff. Is not God is using these boxes, because he's using this box to change many children's lives all over the world. Story like mine, we have plenty of story like mine. God touched many children. Many children were able to come to Christ, were able to see God. Some children were able to have their prayer answered. And I would just encourage, if you do not touch you, but I want to ask you to shoeboxes. Because you're not only packing shoebox, because this is an opportunity, a gospel for children, a gospel opportunity for children to hear about Jesus. Because when these buses are sent, children are able to hear the gospel. And this is what God committed us to do, to spread the gospel. And through this box, we are spreading the gospel. That's why we want many people to pack more shoeboxes, to impact the word, so the new generation could be changed like mine.
Amen. Amen. We just have a couple more minutes, but let me ask you, from growing up on the Ivory Coast in Africa, what do people in Africa think of America? Because we hear on college campuses how terrible America is and we hate America. Mm-hmm. How did you, growing up as a young boy, how did you view America?
I would say for me it was an amazing place. For me it was an amazing place. It's when you go to school, because of the World War One and World War Two, they think that some people think that America is not good. But I would say for me, when I was back home, America was, the best place ever. And every time we used to see New York City on TV and all these movies, so it looks really, like, fantastic in front of my eyes. So when I came to the USA, I remember I went to the OCC sent me a request from New York. And I said, oh, I'm going to New York. For me, I was going to New York City. And when I came to New York, I went there, and I was like, what is New York City? And they told me, oh, New York is only a city. New York City is a city. There's many cities in New York. I said, wow, I didn't know that. For me, the USA was New York City. And I really, for me, when I went back home, I dreamed to come to the USA one day. It was for me, it was a dream.
Amen.
So some other people doesn't have the same view, but most of the time when I go back today, even today, when I go back to home and I say I came from USA, I'm well received, well treated because I am from the USA. And when I say I am in the military, oh, that's the best. They don't really ask me questions. They give me like a VIP door to go to. I'm really well respected when I said I came to the USA, from the USA.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, thank you, brother, for being on today. And I just want to let you know, we have a Sunday school class in our church that has so taken Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child on as a mission that they bought a building and they pack shoeboxes all year round. And this year they have produced 12,000 shoeboxes that we're going to send out around the world.
So, that is great. Wow. Praise God. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to have our big Shoebox Sunday this Sunday, and we're going to pray over those boxes, and may God use those incredible ways in the lives of children all over the world. Okay, say your name one last time for us, brother.
My name is Ngesa ETZ. I wanted to say my whole name because they only gave two names, but my name is Ngesa ETZ Iliaba Shimeya, and it has a meaning. It means third child, sinless, children of God.
Amen. I love it. Well, God bless you, brother. Thank you for being my guest today, and thank you for your testimony. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we're talking about Shoebox Sunday that's coming up in many churches, which we were talking about Israel, and as we're going to talk about the transgenderism issue in America. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Amen. Welcome back. And you are listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you. I do want to share this with you. I saw this in the news today. A charity that's called ESC, Endometriosis South Coast. It's located in the UK. It's described as an inclusive charity set up to support women with diseases, endometriosis, and other things, diseases involving the uterus. They just announced that their new CEO, Steph Richards, a trans woman, is going to be leading the organization. This is an organization that's committed to helping females in distress over uterine problems, and they have as their leader a trans woman. Anytime you read about a trans woman, just put in your mind that that means it's a biological male, a very confused, deceived, warped biological male who thinks he is a woman. And that is their new CEO. And when they made the announcement, this is what they put on X, which used to be called Twitter. Picture of this guy, and let's just face it, guys who pretend to be women, you make for a very unattractive woman, and this guy fits that bill. And this is what it said, quote, "Isn't it ridiculous that I've got to my 40s before any medical professionals even mentioned endometriosis?" Well, okay, you know, I've never had a medical professional talk to me about endometriosis because I'm a guy and I don't have a uterus. So that's why this person never heard about endometriosis from a medical professional, because it wouldn't come up. You know, a woman doesn't hear in her medical exams and her physicals about prostate issues because she doesn't have one. It's ridiculous, for sure. It's ridiculous that any organization that's committed to women's issues, it's a women's organization, would put somebody pretending to be a woman as the CEO of that organization, professing to be wise. We just see stories and stories and stories in the news. Romans 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. They became morons. And we have those who profess to be so wise, and they're just total morons. They're ridiculous. I think it is important that this person had in their quote, "Isn't it ridiculous that I've got to my 40s before any medical professionals even mentioned endometriosis?" It is indeed ridiculous that any organization committed to the health of women, and a women's organization, would have somebody at the head who pretends to be a woman. That is ridiculous. You're pretending to be a woman is indeed ridiculous. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Martha on the line from Kentucky. Martha, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve. I really appreciate your program. I'm calling because I'm disabled, and I can't get out to do a shoebox for kids. But I heard you say that your church has 12,000 boxes for kids. Is there any way I could contribute some money so that somebody could pack a box for me, or just help with whatever you need?
Yeah, Martha, that would be great, because here's the thing. So Samaritan's Purse, because there are shipping costs associated with that, and this Sunday school class, it's called the Golden Circle Sunday School Class in our church. It's a group of wonderful, wonderful ladies, and Susan Potter was the one that had this vision and bought the buildings and said, we're going to do this year-round. Well, each box that you pack, Samaritan's Purse says they need $10 to ship that box. So when you have 12,000, that's a big bill that we need to come up with. So they have two big garage sales every year to help offset those costs. So that would be wonderful. If you would want to help with that, we would definitely appreciate it.
Is there a phone number I can call to give a credit card or an address or not? I don't know.
Yes. You can go online to FBC, stands for First Baptist Church, FBCTexarkana.org. And you can give online, and you can just make a note that you want that to help the shoebox ministry.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. Thank you, Pastor Shreve, for everything you do. You're great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Very, very sweet. Well, as we said at the top of the hour, we need to pray for Israel, and we need to, as Christians and as pastors, we need to stand up for what is right. We need to speak the truth in love for such a time as this. And so whether we're standing up for Israel in the battle between God and Satan, between evil and good, or whether it's standing up for what is morally right in terms of all the lies that you're hearing with with transgenderism for one thing, with homosexuality for another thing, the LGBTQI plus train that is coming to try and destroy. And we had Marine Evangelist Tim Lee with us on Sunday, and he did a great job as he preached the gospel, shared his story, and we had 75 people indicate that they put their faith and trust in Jesus this last Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana. But he made the statement, and he said, listen, Mom and Dad, the devil is coming after your kids, and especially your young kids. George Barna did research and said by the time a child is 13 years old, their worldview is set. So the devil wants to hit kids at a younger and younger age. Why is that? To steal and kill and destroy. And the devil is all over, the fingerprints of the devil all over abortion and the abortion industry. Kill the babies. Kill them before they ever get out of the womb. And then let's let a woman have up to a year to decide if she wants to even keep this baby. So if she doesn't murder the baby in the womb, give her the option of murdering the baby after the baby is born. That's called infanticide. But the governor of Virginia was open to that. And then this idea of, well, now when a kid's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, go ahead and let them become the opposite sex, and we'll be a part of that, and we'll cheer them, and we're for trans health care, and if you stand against that, you're not standing in love. All the perverted, twisted ideas that are coming from the left, and sadly, the medical community is jumping on board with that. And why would they do that? The medical community is supposed to be rooted in science. They're supposed to be rooted in the fact that they do no harm. The Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. But they are willingly complicit to do harm to someone and just say, well, hey, you know, we want to help you if you are a young girl with questions. We used to call those girls tomboys when I was a kid growing up. Well, she's just a tomboy. She likes to hang out with the boys. She likes to play with the boys and climb fences and play ball and do all that stuff. She was a tomboy. And then she grew out of that, and then she quit. She quit hanging out with the boys when she got to a certain age, whether it's 15, 16, whatever it was, and she realized that, hey, I'm a girl, and I'm not going to hang out with the guys anymore. Well, in today's world, what would we do? We'd take that girl, that 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old tomboy, and we would tell her, well, here's the reason why you want to hang out with the boys. You should have been a boy. And so let us help you. Let us give you these drugs. Let us give you these puberty blockers. Let us schedule you for surgery so we can destroy your life before it gets out of the starting blocks. And the devil's fingerprints are all over those things. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And he is a destroyer. John chapter 8. Jesus said this to those religious leaders who were giving him such grief and arguing with him. He said these stern words, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." How can you tell when the devil is involved in something? Well, there is going to be murder involved in some form, in some fashion, whether it's just plain hatred. As John says, 1 John chapter 3, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If you have hatred in your heart, John equates that to murder. That doesn't mean you maybe have necessarily committed murder, but it's murder of the heart. Just like Jesus said, anyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so we have people that have this hatred in their hearts. And where is that coming from? Well, it's not coming from the Lord. It's coming from the devil, and there's murder involved. Abortion has the fingerprints of the devil all over it. as we talked about in the top of the hour, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all those terrorist, Islamic terrorist groups, murder all over it. That's what they want to do. They want from the river to the sea. We're going to exterminate Israel and the Jews. We're going to murder them. We're going to behead them. Well, if you can't see that that is being fueled and motivated by the devil, you're blind as a bat. Because any time the devil is involved, you will see murder in some form, in some fashion. All this trans health care is murder. You're just murdering the future of these children. It is terrible. It is horrible. What else do you see? Well, you see lies. Lies are involved in that because that's the only way the devil can get his work done. And the devil, remember this, he's not just a good liar. He's not one of the top liars. He is the ultimate liar. And he knows how to tell you a lie. You know, the best lies are the ones that sound most like the truth. As you've heard me say before, it's not original with me. I heard it in a sermon by Adrian Rogers years and years ago. He said, what is more dangerous, a clock that is 5 hours wrong or a clock that is 5 minutes wrong? Well, obviously, if you see a clock that's 5 hours wrong, you can pretty much figure that out. Hey, that's wrong. That clock stopped or somebody messed with that clock because I know it's not 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's still in the morning. And so, you know, big difference between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. But a clock that's 5 minutes wrong, you may not know that's wrong. And being 5 minutes off, if you've ever tried to catch a plane, you can find out, hey, I can miss my plane by just 5 minutes. So the devil has lies that sound like the truth, that sound good. Social justice, well, that sounds good. Who wouldn't be for justice? Well, God's for justice, but social justice, when you put the adjective in front of justice, it skews the whole thing. And this idea that, you know, Jesus, yeah, you need Jesus, but you need your good works too. And faith without works is dead, being by itself. And the devil will take scripture and twist scripture. And if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you can be deceived. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And what do we see in our world today? We see many people who are supposed to be preaching the Bible, who are supposed to be speaking for God, and they are deceiving and being deceived. They're giving you a line of baloney, and then they start believing their own baloney. And the devil's fingerprints are all over a ministry like that because it's going to be covered in lies and in very subtle lies. You know, in the book of Jude, Jude said, hey, I wanted to write to you to encourage you in your faith, to write about our common salvation, but I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, what do? They turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They slip into the water, kind of like you see on National Geographic when a crocodile slips into the water, barely makes a ripple. Hey, you don't even notice me, but I'm here, and what am I going to do? I'm going to secretly introduce destructive heresies, 2 Peter chapter 2, even denying the Master who bought me, bringing swift destruction upon myself. Hey, study to show yourselves approved, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God, and let's stand up as believers, stand up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We are on this earth for such a time as this, and God wants us to shine. That's how we live. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, and share. Tell people what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you, and point people to Jesus who is mighty to save. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.